Good day, friends. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on another broadcast brought to you by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ. The congregation that brings you this broadcast has a sincere desire to sound the gospel forth into your home and into your heart. Thus saith the Lord, and the great theme of the restoration comes before our minds on the broadcast today, where the theme that went throughout the country simply was this: let us speak where the Bible speaks, and let us be silent where it is silent. I remember reading some years ago a thought in connection with this theme that was found in 1 Peter 4:11, and we've mentioned this on past broadcasts. The Apostle Peter simply said to Christians in the first century, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." That's what we're to say. Then he said, "If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability that God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified." Today we're going to begin a new series of broadcasts on this station, and we're simply entitling this series, "The Christian and the Church." You know, there's a very definite connection between the Christian and the church. Christ said in Matthew 16:18, "I will build my church." And then Luke recorded in Acts 2:47 that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Those people who were delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom or the church became known as Christians. And one of the best illustrations that I've ever heard regarding the word Christian is to recognize the fact that, as Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see, he was talking about an invitation to come to him to have rest from our sins. And then he followed in the momentous 29th verse by saying, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." The interesting factor as we begin to think on the broadcast today about the Christian and the church is that the Christian actually becomes a part of Christ spiritually. The body of Christ is referred to in Ephesians 1:22-23 as the church of which Jesus is the head. And that's what we're talking about on the broadcast today, realizing that when one becomes a Christian, that he puts on Christ, he becomes a part of Jesus, and Jesus becomes a part of him. And the wonderful thing about this whole aspect is when we enter into this fellowship or this relationship, friends, we never need to be separated from Jesus again. I think that's one of the predominant factors we have in the preaching of the gospel. Even though physical death will come upon men, because in Hebrews 9:27, it said, "Is it appointed once for man to die, but after that the judgment." And of course, we can stand approved in his sight at the final day, recognizing that we have been made free from sin. I want to go to the first chapter of Ephesians on the broadcast today, and we're simply going to talk about the relationship that the Christian has from the standpoint of his sealing. Now, I don't know whether this is familiar to you or not. I'm sure that if you've read this passage, you've wondered about what it means. So if you're taking references, put down Ephesians 1:13. Paul simply refers to those who were Christians, who had been added by the Lord to the church at Ephesus. He simply said, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Now that's what we want to talk about, the sealing. Now he tells us actually what this is when he says in verse 14, "Which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession." I find the word "seal" to be a very interesting word here in Ephesians 1:13. It really tells us what takes place as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned when we become children of God. You see, the Spirit had a very definite interest in men being converted to the Lord, for it was the Holy Spirit that brought the message at Pentecost, as we've told you before in Acts 2. That's the place where the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they begin to speak with other tongues or in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. We have in that chapter the Apostle Peter referring to the works of the Spirit when he went back to the prophet Joel, who had prophesied many years before that in the last days the Lord would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And that Spirit did come upon the apostles. But then there's an aspect here that I think is very important as we think about the Christian and his relationship to Jesus Christ. The word "earnest" that is found in verse 14 in connection with the sealing is simply a word that can refer to pledge. Another rendering is a down payment. It is an assurance that one has been made free from sin, and that he or she have now become children of God. You see, the Spirit has something to do with this from this indication, just as the Spirit has something to do with the functioning of the church. I was reading just the other day in the speech that Paul made to the Ephesian elders, recorded in the famous 20th chapter of Acts in verse 28, when he told the elders to take heed to yourself and to all the flock, that's the congregation, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. You see, the point is that those who become elders or scriptural bishops in the local congregation are individuals that have actually been put in that position with a connection associated with the Holy Spirit. Now, I can't tell you on the broadcast today how all this takes place, but I'm simply willing to take the Word of God for what it says, and to realize that when you obey the gospel, if you have done that, every sin is completely forgiven. Prior to this statement in verse 13 of the first chapter of Ephesians, the apostle made a wonderful statement in the seventh verse of that first chapter. He said regarding the Ephesians, in whom ye have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We've told congregations all over the country, friends, that if you can tell us how rich God's grace is, then we can tell you how complete forgiveness is. But you see, the forgiveness of sins comes when we obey the gospel. But then to have this pledge or this down payment upon eternal life is a vital thing. This might be a shocking statement to some of you on the broadcast today and saying, well, preacher, when I obeyed the gospel of Christ, I had the assurance that I was saved eternally, that I couldn't possibly be lost. I want to point out to you that we do have records in the Bible where there were people who had obeyed the gospel apparently that did lose their soul. One accounting that I often refer to is in the 25th chapter of Matthew, where we're aware of the fact that there was a servant who had one talent, but there was nothing wrong because he had one talent, but it was what he did with that talent. He buried that talent. You know, he was called by his master as a servant, for the master had given him a talent with full understanding that he could take care of that. But he brought the talent that he had buried for his master, and he simply presented it at the time of reckoning, or might we say at the time of judgment. And the master was indeed wroth with him, and you remember he said, "You wicked and slothful servant, I gave you this, why didn't you put it to work for me, so that I may have had more at my coming?" And eventually we find not alone was the talent taken from him, but the book says in that 25th chapter of Matthew that he was truly cast out. It's a picture of one losing his soul. So what am I saying on the broadcast today? I'm saying that when we become children of God, all our past sins have been forgiven. We now have a down payment. We have a pledge. We have a sealing that truly indicates to us that we are on our way to heaven. Other scriptures prove the point that we are Christians when we obey the gospel. When we become a part of the Lord's church, I'm especially interested in Romans the 8th chapter, verse 16. That may be a reference you want to write down and consider, where the word Spirit is used two times in this verse. The first time it refers to the Holy Spirit, the last time to the Spirit of man. Listen to Paul now as he offered that teaching to the Roman Christians. He said, "The Spirit," referring to the Holy Spirit, "beareth witness with our spirit, the Spirit of man, that we are children of God." So I'm sure you can know this morning, if your spirit has been in agreement with the teaching of the Holy Spirit, that you have been saved from your past sins. But now what do you become? Well, let's go to an outstanding passage again in the Roman Epistle in chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, where Paul says, "God be thanked, though you were the servants of sin, you have obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." You see, not alone are you a son or a daughter of God if you've been born again, if you've been added by the Lord to his body, which is the church, but you also become a servant. That's why Paul said in Philippians 2 and 12 that the Christians were to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. But he reminded us in the verse that followed, verse 13 of Philippians 2, that it's God that works with us and in us and through us. So you see, the point is that we become children of God. We have that down payment upon eternal life when our sins are forgiven, And then our Christian life is life in which we walk by faith and not by sight. And if we're going to know how to walk by faith, then we're going to have to remember that where we got to be a Christian came from hearing God's word and obeying it. When we serve Him faithfully, it is by hearing that wonderful word that is identified as faith in the third verse of Jude's writing, being faithful unto death, that we might receive that crown of life. Now someone might say, well, is it possible then, preacher, if my sins have been forgiven, that I could fall short of the mark? I'm not offering final judgment upon anyone as we consider the circumstance today, but I'm recognizing the fact that God has given us a wonderful teaching in which upon our obedience to the gospel, we are made free from sin. We become children of righteousness, and thus we serve Him faithfully in doing His will each day. I trust that you'll scrutinize the scripture that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tells us what to do in recognizing Christ as the Son of God. You know, in that wonderful teaching in the 16th chapter of Matthew, in verse 16, that Jesus heard the statement there by the Apostle Peter, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you remember the Savior responded by saying, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed us unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Then he made that wonderful statement, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So you see, the Lord did build His church. People were added to it there in the second chapter of Acts at Pentecost. And it had a wonderful beginning, and it's continuing on today. Every person who became a child of God became a servant in the kingdom, in the church. And I'm wondering, as you listen to the broadcast today, if you have considered how necessary it is that you have this down payment upon eternal life. And if you've gone that far in hearing the word, believing it, repenting your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, that you believe Christ is the Son of God, and following that with baptism, then you become a part of Jesus. Now, what are you going to do as a part of His body? Notice the book of Acts tells us what to do to be a Christian. But then when we begin in Romans, and including the Ephesian epistle that we've referred to on the broadcast already today, and all the rest of the epistles of the New Testament tells us how to serve Him as children in the family of God. You know, your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ have a sincere desire to help you in doing this. It's a wonderful opportunity time and time again to go into the homes of people and talk to them about the Word of God. You may want to study the Word of God in your home. If you have this desire, certainly contact the congregation that's bringing you this broadcast. For their number of brethren, not alone in the eldership, but otherwise, that can be a benefit to come and study with you. If you are a Christian, then realize the importance of walking circumspectly. Realize the importance of realizing, as we go through this life, that I must serve the Lord. It is a labor of love. It is that which we serve Him because we love Him. So the words of Jesus ring true today, don't they? In John 14 and 15, where He said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And then let's not forget what John wrote in 2 John verse 6, when he simply identified love by saying, this is love, that we walk after His commandments. We're going to have to leave you on the broadcast today. It's been good to be with you. We trust this series, The Christian in the Church, will be one that you want to hear. So if you've heard things today that are familiar to your ears, check them with the Bible. If you don't agree with them, be sure and check the Bible. If we can be a benefit to you, let us know. Perhaps we could come to your home when we're in the area and talk to you about the marvelous truth of God's Word. Now tell somebody about this broadcast this week and plan to be with us next week as we deal once again with the Christian and the Church.